is the Nightly News Podcast. Join Jay the Man and the man, the myth, the legend, the one and only Rags, discussing today's news, conspiracy news, and news you won't hear anywhere else. Only on the Disclosure Media Network. Don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube by going to youtube.disclosuremedia.net.
Well, well, hello and good evening or good morning wherever you are in the world. Tonight it is Monday, May 18th, 2005. Thank you to all those listening on our live streams on YouTube and then on the Ustream. And also all of you that download our pod and on Podomatic. Also along for the ride,
riding shotgun.
Hello?
Hello? Are you hearing me okay?
Now I do. I didn't hear there for a second.
Sorry about that, folks. Rags is riding shotgun. We're back here for another week of, some news. Took a couple days off last week, and we're probably off a couple days this week too, folks, just so you know. But anyway, we got some great news lined up for this evening. I'm just adjusting my audio here so that it comes through good and clear for everyone. Sometimes this mic is weird. But anyway, Rags, how you doing, man?
Chilling.
Staying busy, I assume.
I have been busy with work. Yeah, absolutely.
That's always good. Well, folks, there's a lot that's happened over the weekend. Of course, the main story that we got on our website right now is talking about the 40 volcanoes that are going off right now. Rags, I think we talked about volcanoes a little bit, maybe in a couple of previous episodes. But I'm just looking right now, and I guess there's, looks like there's 34 or so that are going off around the Ring of Fire, if I'm reading correct. This article comes from, where does this article come from? Let me see here. Where does this come from? Oh, yeah, the economiccollapseblog.com. And my cell phone's going crazy, so it must be Twitter or something crazy. So let me mute that crap. So anyway, folks, you may have noticed, you may not have noticed, but our planet is becoming increasingly unstable. According to a volcano discovery, 40 volcanoes around the globe are erupting right now, and only 6 of them are not along the Ring of Fire. Now, if that sounds like a very high number to you, that is because it is a very high number. As I have written about previously, there were a total of 3,542 volcano eruptions during the entire 20th century. When you divide that number by 100, that gives you an average of about 35 volcano eruptions per year. So the number of volcanoes that are erupting right now is well above the 20th century's average for an entire calendar year. And, of course, we are witnessing a tremendous amount of earthquake activity as well. Nepal was just hit by the worst earthquake it had seen in 80 years. And scientists are telling us that the Himalayas actually dropped by an astounding 3 feet. Isn't that amazing, Rags? The Himalayan mountains lost 3 feet.
Yeah, I mean, it's it'd be interesting to see how where their numbers and information are for, you know, the exact loss of it, but where they come up with that number.
GPS, I guess? You think maybe GPS, that's how...
Hold on, as I'm reading the article, it said the Himalayas, so I mean, you'd have to have a laser, I mean, you'd have to measure, I mean, you could measure it, you really could, I mean...
Right.
If there was, you could just take a plane that could bounce off it, so usually planes measure mountains, so you'll get aircraft that can go by, you know, they can measure, you know, so basically the where it was before when they measured it from so many feet, so that they're flying, let's say, for example, they're flying at 30,000 feet.
Right.
So, you know, so as the laser goes down and bounces off the mountain and comes back up, it'll measure that in distance. So that's the only thing I could think of is that another plane flew over recently and, you know, an image came back. A plane flew up 30,000 feet, but this time when they came back, it was actually, you know, 3 more feet apparently. Less after the earthquake, you know. Well, 2 earthquakes, really.
Yeah.
It was actually 2 earthquakes.
Two nice big earthquakes.
So, yeah, in a period of less than a month. Pretty huge earthquake for those areas. So, and like you said, not in the Ring of Fire. You know, I think that's the other telling part.
Very active.
Very, very, very active. Although...
No, I don't know if it's... you know, if it's abnormal. Do you think it's abnormally active?
Oh, you know, I mean, that's... You know, what do we got to compare it to? It seems like, you know... Just kind of like we were talking before, Jay, you know, we look at with the advent of the internet, information is so readily available now in quicker times. I guess sometimes it's hard to put it in perspective, you know, now that we can get information faster to ourselves instead of, you know, where you're before you just read in the earth, you know, you read the paper, an earthquake there, or even on, you know, a major news story every so often during a couple weeks, even on a, you know, internet news site.
Well, we have a lot more ways of detecting these earthquakes, too.
Yeah, you know, I mean, but the thing, I think, and so it's very hard. I mean, to me, you know, does it feel like there's an uptick? Yeah, I mean, look at, you know, look what's happened in Dallas, you know, Texas this year, and, you know, right there in Fort Worth just last week, you know, and another, you know, so, I mean, small earthquakes, mind you, you know, but for an area that normally, you know, since man's been around, you know, in this century, you can never really get them. You don't want to jump to conclusions and just jump on that bandwagon yet,
right?
But you know, it does my thought process is it that it feels like there is more activity. Seems like, and like I said, you know, that could be wrong. You know. To a certain point, but man, this seems like there is a lot of volcanoes going off, though.
Definitely a lot of volcanoes are going off. I'd have to agree. I want to move on to this next story, Rags, here that I've got put up. And this comes from sthfplan.com, shithitthefanplan.com. So this is talking about, you know, we heard September. You know, we've been hearing some things about September, some type of activity is going to happen in September. Well, this one says, Rags, that this October, the world will change. Quote, China is preparing big. And it's a story. It's a pretty lengthy article, but I'm going to read a little bit of it here. It says, this October may see the beginning of the end of the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency. Twice every decade, the IMF fund meets... The IMF meets to discuss their special drawing rights currency basket, currently comprised of the dollar, the Japanese yen, the British pound, and the euro. Now, if China has their way, a few months from now, we may see the Chinese yen take its place among the world's trusted currencies. U.S. Treasury Secretary Jack Lew says, quote, China isn't ready for currency reserve status, and would certainly like to see the Chinese blocked from entry. Preserving the dollar status as the world's go-to currency and primary mechanism of exchange for global international currencies, trade. Now, but while Liu and his predecessors have presided over the largest growth in national debt in world history, the Chinese have been strategically positioning, much like the United States did in the 1990s, to not just become the world's largest economy, but to be the superpower of the 21st century. Now, Rags, I don't know how much you got to read of this story here, but it's got a lot of detail. Now, do you think this has any merit of maybe why we're preparing maybe for something? Could this be what it's it? China taking over? Russia, China getting together?
And SDR, you know, is exactly what it is. You know, it's the world's reserve currency, which is us. I mean, but it's a basket of currencies, mind you. Okay.
Right.
So it's we sometimes get predicated on this on the premise of that it's just the U.S. dollar, you know. But you know, you could hypothesize, you could go CT, you know, instead of it's actually the U.S. dollar, it's actually the petrodollar to keep oil below, because obviously, you know, in the United States we play lower than actually most of the world, the civilized world overall.
So is it in our interest that they not become a currency reserve? It seems so. I mean, the secretary came out and said,
I think China, to be honest with you, I just think China is a long ways away. And the reason why I say that is because you got to remember their economy is not doing great right now.
Right.
Either. So, I mean, and not only that, their partnerships with Russia and with the rest of the BRICS countries, you know, that gives them some stability in the sense, but how do you replace the amount of money that the United States has? I mean, because of our structure and code, especially with taxes, I mean, from what we just collect a year, I mean, you already heard the record, what, just last month, the record revenue for IRS, you know, for collecting taxes. You know, we by far collect more taxes here in the United States than any other country in the world.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, you know, so there's that, you know, where is the real value? You know, so whereas, you know, can China actually prove how much actually they pull in taxes rather than, yeah, that they're fiscally sound? So in other words, how much money does it contribute from their population, from what they've got for output and outlay and pensions, which isn't much, mind you. But again, you know, I don't know to think that, to be honest with you, I don't think China this has anything to do with. I don't think anything is going to come out this whatsoever. Not even close to anything. Talks like this are just talks like they are, trying to go to a world reserves currency, but that's all it is to talk. That's all it is, just talk. And if it's going to happen, it's not going to like it's going to happen in October like in a split decision. It's going to have to be voted on. There's going to have to be a lot of different things. And not only that, I mean – How much money do you think is tied up in derivatives against something like this?
Yeah, who knows?
So, I mean, again, this is not saying that eventually that a world – another reserve currency. But if we look at history of the world, we usually end up having a world war or there's some destruction of the current reserve currency. Okay?
Well, it probably would take a world war for that to happen, right?
You know, and I don't know.
It seems like that's what we usually the go-to thing is: go to war.
Well, whether it's war or whether how much is lies out there, the lies of how, you know, really how well the economy is doing. I mean, the rest of the world's not doing well. I mean, turn on the news channel, forget the channels of the United States, look at the news around the world, and it's not there's not good numbers.
Now, the president of China said the dollar is a product of the past.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the biggest thing is that what they – let me tell you what. The only way that it really happens is if all of a sudden China shows up at the table, just like this article says, they just come up and they say, okay, boom, here's $1 trillion in gold. So when they pop that down on the table and say we have $1 trillion in gold, that would be a defining moment.
That means they take over, basically, as far as the world.
$1 trillion in gold? Oh, I would say so.
Where the hell they get all that gold at?
They've been confident. They've been buying gold left and right for a long time.
Well, you know, we went off the gold standard.
Not that they would have that much money. I'm just saying that's what it would take to be that dramatic. And even here in the article, it says right here, but you know, China has maybe $2.2 billion.
Right.
So they're a long ways from, you know, a trillion in gold. So it's just a wait and see thing, you know, see how it goes. But I'm not – this has – to me – and I saw this article. It's made its headlines, obviously, across the CT sites and stuff like that. But to me, this holds no water. You know, it just doesn't. Not yet. Because right now it's funny money. Is it not?
Yeah, I'd have to agree.
I mean, the economy is – I mean, today the Dow went higher and higher again.
Yep.
So, I mean, they play with that as long as much as they want. So, Does it, it? I don't think it's anything relevant of who's got the world reserve currency, or you know, I don't know. Couldn't tell you.
Well, it'd be interesting to see if anything happens in October. So, you know, we always get these, this is going to happen in October, it's going to happen, and then nothing ever
happens.
Well,
I mean, I would look at other situations. I mean, now, there is, you know, there's financial rumblings. But again, that's related worldwide.
But could this just be a small piece of the puzzle, too?
It could. You know, I mean, what I mean by, you know, the small rumblings is... it's just more the financial system that's around the entire world. You know, Japan, they're broke. It doesn't matter. I mean, people. I mean, it's just a joke. Japan's another just broke ass country. I just can't even describe. I can't even tell people even on paper how bad it is.
Could we just start over? Have a currency reset, debt reset.
Is that even, you never know.
I mean, is that? I guess that's possible, right?
Then everybody, and I mean, how do you do it? So the
I don't know. How would that even
the richest,
go?
You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's like, okay, so everybody makes a certain amount an hour. Everybody makes 50 grand a year. Every human being in the world. I mean, does that equal out? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it would have to be something along those lines, because you'll still have disparity. You'll still have labor. You'll still have people that try to beat up on labor laws. You'll have people that will abuse the system.
So we'll never have a perfect system ever. We'll never have
not
that utopia,
I mean, yeah,
you know,
not.
That people might want to have, you know, where everyone has everything they want.
And, you know, and for some people, what's everything that they want? It doesn't have to be financial, but this world's run by money. I mean, money is the root of all evil.
Yep.
I mean, this world is nothing about but having money.
And the love of money.
It's not about having, you know, a family relationship to be the most important. No, it's about what's the next iPhone you buy, what's the next Lincoln Mercury you can buy, what's the next drug you can buy for your different diseases, and on top of those drugs that could kill you, the 10 million reasons why they're going to kill you. And then on top of that, the health insurance that you have to have in order for those drugs to not kill you, but it will kill you anyways because the insurance sucks that's going to kill you. So, I mean –
you're it's right. You're right, man.
It's a vicious cycle, man. It's a vicious whirlwind cycle of BS. But, you know, the October, you know, remember we're talking about September stuff.
Right.
You know, I mean.
Now October's out there.
You know, I mean, October, you know, I mean, it's.
October's a good time, but isn't that when markets, isn't that October like a. I don't know. Isn't there stuff that's always happened in October?
Yeah, it's always the end of September, the 1st of October. I mean, you'll know the grumblings when
they
come.
Is that a new quarter?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yep, the fourth quarter for most people.
All right. Well, hey, folks, we're going to take a short break here, and we'll be back here just in a short couple minutes. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with the Nightly News Podcast with Jason and Rags.
Savvy consumers are lining up today to be the first to purchase Sony's brand new stupid piece of shit that doesn't do the goddamn thing it's fucking supposed to. Onion News Network Tech Trends reporter Jeff Tate has more.
Thanks, Brandon. It's being called the biggest fucking waste of your hard-earned money to come along in years. Sony's new stupid box thing hit the shelves at crowded malls and overpriced electronics stores around the country today.
It's got a whole bunch more memory and megapixels and whatnot than any of the other TV shit that I already have. I can't wait to get home and spend my whole fucking night trying to figure the goddamn thing out.
If you can somehow claw and bite your way through the impossible to open packaging, this stupid piece of shit offers a wide variety of frustrating as hell functions, including flashing random fucking words and numbers on its display screen, not coming with the fucking little doohickey thing it's supposed to, and being goddamned ass backward as fuck. Sony spokesman Alan Compton said the company designed this sucking fucking goddamn thing to make everyone in the modern home want to tear their fucking eyeballs out.
We listened hard to what our customers said they wanted the most out of their own home entertainment system, and then we pumped out this impossible-to-use fucking piece of shit.
Anyone mystified by the device's numerous extraneous features can scroll through the interactive help menu, a labyrinthine maze of indecipherable topics of use to fucking no one.
We want people to be screaming in unison from houses across the country, work, work, you cocksucking piece of shit. What is wrong with you? Why can't you work like a normal machine?
With a $100 million nationwide campaign to plaster irritating-ass advertisements for the retarded hunk of garbage every single goddamn place you look, Sony is expecting it to become the next fucking gizmo you absolutely have to fucking own if you don't want to feel like a toothless hillbilly living in some hillbilly shack somewhere.
I love bullshit like this. Basically, I'll buy any goddamn thing that I see in an ad.
The fucking piece of shit is available now.
Fuck.
So run out and pick one up and invite all of your friends over to see if any of them can figure out this motherfucking time vampire. Unless one of them is a rocket scientist, Sony pretty much guarantees they'll have no chance. For the Onion News Network, I'm Jeff Tate.
Thanks, Jeff. Sony says they plan to release an upgraded 800 gigabyte version of this piece of shit by the end of the year. Just when you figured out the goddamn remote control for this one. It never ends, this shit.
We're coming back here.
And ZJ, that commercial kind of summed it up. It's what we were talking about. You know, people got to have the next thing, man.
I found that today, and I was like, man, I got to play that. That's just, that does sum it up, what we were talking about.
I mean, it really, truly does, and I like the humor. Was that an Onion piece?
It was.
Yeah, they're good about that. I mean, it's truth through humor, but it was true. I mean, every part of it was true.
So, did you cast news this weekend with that biker gang shootout?
You know, you did. I don't know. It might have been. I don't know. It's a time die. It was late. It was probably about, you know, maybe 7:30 my time, somewhere around there when I finally saw the news on it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it had been like 5.5 hours, 6 hours, you know, after. Just, you know, what a scene. You know, and I guess, you know, and you're thinking now Twin Peaks is a big franchise, right?
Yeah, and I guess
you think of bikers getting there fighting at the bar, you're thinking of a biker bar, right? You're not thinking of a strip mall where this all took place. And this was a fairly sized big strip mall.
And they were all aware that they were going to be there. And you know what? I was confused that when I first saw the story, I thought these 9 bikers killed themselves, but apparently the officers killed some people too.
Well, yeah, that's me, an investigator. I did see that, but you saw the pictures. I mean, of guys laying on the ground and guys swinging bats, which kind of surprised me that there's actually with the amount of people involved that there just wasn't any video.
They arrested 200 people.
Yeah.
How do you arrest 200 people? Jeez.
Well, you saw them. They're down on the ground. I saw a lot of pictures just, you know, last night. You know, you see them. They're all got the, they broke out the, whatever you want to call those, the zip ties. They had them all zip tied on the ground and some of them.
Well, have you seen the latest headlines coming out? Officers have been warned about more bikers possibly heading to Texas.
Hmm. So. Well, you know, and I can tell you that down there, my dad and my stepmom, they ride bikes big time. You know, they're not down there right now. They used to live right there, just north of Waco, and they're just casual bikers. You know,
this article is coming from CNN. Memo has gone out to law enforcement in the wake of Sunday's shooting, warning officers that members of the Bandidos And I guess that's the Cossacks. Motorcycle gangs reportedly have been instructed to arm themselves and travel north to Texas.
Yep.
Quote, obviously it's something we were concerned about. We would encourage biker groups to stand down. There's been enough bloodshed. There's been enough death here. Waco Police Sergeant Patrick Swanton told CNN Anderson Cooper on Monday night. So from what this seems like, probably these officers probably did most of the killing. I'm going to bet, Rags.
And again, I haven't, you know, and from what I read yesterday, there wasn't a lot of good informational news that I could track down.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm reading it yesterday, and I figured, okay, 6 hours late, you know, afterwards, well, there should be plenty of news, you know, just the circumstances, there should have been some better pictures, what went down. All I saw was just the one picture of, you know, them with bats and some guys laying on the ground. Now, you know, whether or not these guys were actually, you know, killed by other bikers or by the police, that's just the really weird thing, that there's not a whole lot of news coming out. So, but we'll have to wait and see. You know what I'm saying?
The police, from what I understand, they were there. They were already on the scene. So I guess it broke out inside, and they didn't care, I guess. They didn't care if the cops were there. But
they fought outside, though, too.
Yeah. Well, so, it broke outside, I guess, from what I understand. I don't know. It says police were there within 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And the bikers turned their weapons on law enforcement is what it says. Our officers took fire and responded appropriately, returning fire.
Yeah, it was. I think the, you know, it's like anything else. We know something's going to surface here in the next couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there just has to be some more video or pictures of some of the things that transpired. But yeah, now with the cops, you know, saying that they might, you know, who's the one who reporting saying that they were shot by officers?
This is on CNN. This is Officer Swanton.
That some officers may have killed some of them?
Oh, I guess this has come from the biker gangs, yeah. Bandidos and the Cossacks. But I'm not seeing that direct quote from anyone.
Yeah. Still, I think from the scope of it, though, what a unsurreal type of setting with everything going on, you know. Just all of a sudden, hey, here you are at Twin Peaks, and hey, I thought, you know, there's girls there that look pretty damn hot. I mean, shouldn't that take your eye off wanting to fight somebody?
You would think.
I mean, it's called Twin Peaks for a reason, fellas. I mean, geez, you start to, you guys really aren't bikers.
Yeah, I guess
now.
They have a risque dress code for their servers.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's very risque.
And the franchise, they took their franchise away from them, too.
They took the liquor license away.
And the corporation come out and...
Oh, the corporation did? Oh, fuck it. They did. They took the franchise away.
Jerked their franchise.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, there better be some investigation done.
I guess they were told... I guess the management had been told not to have these events.
Oh, so this was like an event at their place?
Oh, yeah. This was like a biker gang meetup. Oh,
geez.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Since when do bikers go into franchises? And one, why would they even pay the prices of a franchise?
Well, no, the bikers didn't own the franchise.
No. It's what I'm saying is that it seems a little spendy.
Oh, why would they go?
Why would they even go to this place? I mean, they're usually supposed to be in biker bars. That's why they call them biker bars. You know, they're out in the middle of the desert or something, off the road.
Yeah, yeah.
Run down piece of crap. All the bikes lined up in a row. You know.
Yeah, I guess Thursday nights is when they hosted bike nights.
And they do, because remember, the other place across the way is Dawn something. Now, this is what I'm saying. My parents, my dad, my stepmom, they've been down to these. Now, remember, there are some that there's – out of these bikers, it's not all biker gangs. Okay?
Well, the one way to stop it is to tell them they can't wear their colors.
Yeah.
They won't come to your place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But my dad did say, I mean, I remember this even 3 or 4 years ago. My dad said that there is some serious, serious biker gangs with around that area out in Waco.
Yeah.
He said there was some serious, serious biker gangs around that area. That was 4 years ago.
That's pretty amazing. Well, hey, folks, we're at the bottom of the hour here. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break and get that out of the way. So just give me a second while I get those files ready. Don't forget to subscribe to us on our YouTube channel. You can subscribe to us at youtube.disclosuremedia.net. You can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter at Disclosure Media. You can follow Rags on Twitter at RagsTheMan. And you can follow myself on Twitter at RealJason_Young. And folks, with that, we'll be back here in about 6 minutes. So stand by.
We'll be right back with the Nightly News Podcast with Jason and Rags.
This one, Rags. So, Rags, what do you got on your docket tonight?
Well, let's see here.
I really like this beat, man.
Oh, what do I got to start off with here? This one's a good one. This kind of came over the, I think this kind of started a little bit last Friday or something like that. But Saudi Arabia calls in off-the-shelf nuke option with Pakistan.
Uh-oh.
At the prospect of the international community's nuclear deal with Iran, Saudi Arabia has reportedly taken a decision to call in an old favor from Pakistan and get some of its nuclear weapons. Saudi Arabia is widely believed to have bankrolled the Pakistani nuclear weapons program. In exchange, Riyadh reportedly expects Islamabad to provide missiles in times of trouble to defend the kingdom. For the Saudis, the moment has come, a former American defense oil official said, the Sunday Times newspaper. There has been a long-standing agreement in place with the Pakistanis, and the House of Saud has now made the strategic decision to move forward. According to the report, no actual transfer of weapons has taken place yet, but the Saudis mean what they say and they will do what they say, the source reportedly said. The report comes a month ahead of the meeting between Tehran and the P5+1 group to finalize a deal which would lift sanctions from Iran in exchange for making its nuclear program more transparent and restricted. Key U.S. allies in the Middle East, Israel, and Saudi Arabia are objecting to the deal, saying it would ultimately allow Iran to acquire nuclear weapons. So not only is it telling Iran, Saudi Arabia is saying, okay, well, I'm going to jump on board that ship, man.
Well, they said this would happen.
Now you're going to get this fight for, who has what, and, I don't know. I at this point, it's who makes the deal with who. My guess is, Israel says, okay, listen, we will help you out, Saad, don't get one, but you're going to have to help us because we're going to do a strike against Iran or something. I don't know. Who knows, But,
I wonder how much a nuke goes for. How much can you buy a nuke for?
Well, it just kind of depends. I mean, ballistic nuclear missile.
Do they have the capabilities?
I don't think they have the capabilities. A tactical nuke, yeah.
So this wouldn't be something they would shoot at us.
No. You'd need, the really, in all reality, you're going to need like an ICBM. You're going to need an intercontinental ballistic missile. So that's why it's called ICBM, intercontinental ballistic missile. So you're going to need some type of long range type of platform of a missile to launch any type of major strike like that.
I think Saudi Arabia is a huge threat.
I don't think so. They've cut their deals with America for. That's why the price of oil has been where it's at.
But I also think they,
they're Sunni. You got
they
the
use
Shia.
That money that we give them to fund these extremists.
All the Arab countries do. They're not alone. Every single.
Oh, I know,
Arab
but they're a big
does.
Player.
Whether they are or not. It's all part of a theater of game, as far as I'm concerned. I think it's just a game that they play with the United States and everybody else. But now remember, they do – Iran and Saudi Arabia do not like each other, period. That is a historical fact.
Because Iran, they're Persians.
One Shia.
They're Persians, right?
Well, Sunni and Shia. One Sunni, one Shia. So – that's the difference in the factions, is that one Sunni, one Shia. Just like Iraq and Iran at one time. Saddam Hussein, and, they've gone to war with Iraq, several times over years. So it's from the perspective of what the world will look at, I don't know if, Saudi Arabia is going to make that big push. We don't think that we don't have a lot of control of what they do or say. That's just flat out, Again, the U.S. reserve currency is petrodollars.
Right.
And right now, we happen to be full with a lot of oil ourselves. So, who can withstand what? We have all the food we want in the world. You pretty much can't grow food in friggin' Saudi Arabia, dude.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
One thing you're going to need is all those Middle Eastern countries. You just cannot – as our populations have grown so much over the years, there's just you're not going to be able to keep up the demand for food.
And I heard also in Saudi Arabia that their population has gotten so big that they're using a lot of their output now for home demand basically.
I don't know about that. They may, I guess. I don't know. Again, it's not really relatively that big of a country in the same as I don't think.
I don't know how many is there.
I'm sure that our good friend Mr. Google would tell us exactly what the
what is the population of Saudi Arabia?
Let me see.
I'll ask my phone. It'll tell me.
Okay,
Google.
28.83 million people. We have that many in California. We have double that in California.
Is that it?
Yeah.
28 million.
Okay.
That is quite a bit, but yeah, I guess nothing compared to what we got.
Yeah, we got, we're the country of 330 million. 400, counting the illegals, but, but yeah, I forget, what is California? California population. California.
Knows how to party.
You got, by far, 38.8 million people in 2014.
Well, we should just recruit everyone in California and send them over to Saudi Arabia.
So, the demand, it's, not that they're not doing a lot of work over there. They're building a lot of stuff. They're building a lot of those big cities over there throughout the Middle East. Their army, they've got a lot of contracts. They're actually doing a lot of American contracts, believe it or not, and to private resources for defense contracts and stuff like that. So, I don't know. We'll have to see. But, I think for the most part with them getting a nuke and getting their hands on it, I don't know how that would be perceived. Israel's not going to be surrounded by nukes. I'm sorry, but it's not going to happen. Would you not agree?
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I don't think they're going to. I don't know.
Not that Saudi Arabia's ever threatened them, because they have not. They have actually a good relationship with Israel. But.
On the outside.
Yeah, on the outside. You know.
Yeah, that's the scary thing, man.
You know, Muslim or Arabic or whatever, you know, they don't like the Jews too much, apparently.
Right. Well, let's move on to another story here that I've got, and this one comes from MarketWatch.com. Bank of America is forecasting a scary summer for the stock market. So I'll put this up on the screen for those who are looking. So we'll put that there. Investors might want to add a little cash and some gold to their portfolio summer outfit. So say analysts at Bank of America, Merrill Lynch. Is that did Merrill Lynch buy Bank of America or Bank of America buy Merrill Lynch? Is that what I'm catching there? Who are forecasting a grim summer for stocks this year. In other words, it might be wise to apply ample dollops of market correction block in addition to any sunscreen you might wear. While falling short of calling for an outright bear market, which needs a rise in interest rates and a decline in earnings per share, Bank of America is painting a pretty ugly picture for investors over the next several months. The Wall Street firm warns that the market will see a scary summer because investors are trapped in this, quote, twilight zone rags. There's that word, rags, twilight zone. The transition period between the end of quantitative easing and the first rate hike by the Fed as it tries to normalize its fiscal policy. In the interim, investors can expect mediocre returns, volatile trading, correction breakdowns, and flash crashes, says Chief Investment Strategist Michael Harnett. Harnett advises reducing the risk rather than maximizing return for the midpoint of the year, saying it could be a lose-lose summer for risk assets. Now, it says the firm sees five-year German bonds yielding 0.2%, 2% for the Italian 10-year, and 20 on the VIX, and 2,000 for the S&P 5,000, or plus 0.30 in the second quarter. How to ready for the summer? Besides affordable cash and gold, the analysts also recommend buying a so-called put spread pegged to S&P 500. So I don't know, Rags. I'm not too much of a stock market guy. I don't invest in it or anything like that. But it seems like it just, I don't know. I don't like gambling.
Well, I mean, all they're just saying is that they're just wanting to see rate stabilization. That the bottom line is that, you know, the economic report, you know, and I read this article. I forgot that you had that up there because I was going to read this one too. You know, they're more concerned of, you know, if we're, you know, the Fed is going to correct the rate and we're going to start bouncing back from zero and start applying those backstops and the back gap of trying to get a rebounding economy. But is the economy really rebounding is the real question. Look at, like, I mean, the overall stock, you know, the dividend, it hasn't been that great of a dividend season. Caterpillar, a lot of busts of actual products. When I mean actual products, not Facebook, not Google, not Twitter, not all this other BS. Because it's just internet stocks. Stuff that actually makes something, has people that have good jobs, union jobs, machineries across the globe, where it takes people across the globe to actually make a product. You know, that's the real tale of the tape there too. I don't know, you know, and that's what Bank of America is sitting there saying, is that, you know, they're seeing that this summer there's not going to be a whole lot of profits of what people would expect.
Well, that'd be, you know, just like this last quarter we had. There wasn't much profit. What was it, 0.2?
Well, that was growth. No, that was a growth.
And I heard that's going to be revised to negative 0.7.
Yeah, I mean, it's yeah, that was growth, of actual growth, okay, of the GDP. Yeah, that was growth for the GDP. So it's, you know, I don't know. It'd be kind of I who knows.
Well, we got another story from Market Watch, and this is a quick one here. I guess the St. Louis Federal Reserve, they confirmed that they were hacked. Hackers took part of the St. Louis Federal Reserve's website last. It took over part of St. Louis's Federal Reserve website last month to redirect users to fake pages, potentially subjecting visitors seeking economic data and research to malware and phishing attacks. And the bank said Monday, on April 24th, attackers took over the domain name servicely used by the St. Louis Fed to redirect some of the bank's web traffic that day to rogue web pages they created to simulate the look of the St. Louis Fed's research.stlouisfed.org website. Now, that means people who logged in gave up their credentials to hackers' rags. This is pretty insane that they can do this. The hijacked databases included the bank's economic database, as well as the archival information, vintage statistics, and geographical maps. Users will be prompted to change their passwords the next time they log in to the research systems, according to the statement. Shouldn't all those accounts be deactivated? Or maybe, I guess they have, but I don't know. Anyway, the St. Louis Fed sent a notice to people who have active accounts for the database Monday morning. The hack was first reported by security blogger Brian Kerbs. So this is pretty interesting that they were able to hack this website. And how do they do this, Rags? How are they able to take over a website and you think you're actually visiting? How do they take over? So it seems they took over the domain. Is that what happened?
And they spoof it. So, yeah, they take over the domain and they spoof it like it looks like the real one. It's just that's how they usually do it.
How are they able to take over your domain?
You know, hackers, I don't know.
I mean, as someone who runs a website, that's very curious that someone can.
They spoofing it. So, in other words, even though, so what's happening is that it looks like it's going, it looks like your site, but it's not.
Yeah, but how are they able to, they have to redirect you from someone's website? Don't you have to take over the domain somehow?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
I mean, I know to set up a redirect for my website, I have to do it within my, you know, domain stuff.
Yeah, maybe they hack in and do that. I don't know. You know, I really don't. Hmm. It'd be interesting, you know, exactly how they come about that. But
it says some of the bank traffic, so I guess it wasn't all of it. So they're probably part of the cloud, and that's what the issue is. The cloud.
Yeah.
Welcome to the cloud.
Yeah, that's I don't know.
Yeah, well. Keeps getting interesting every day. So you see that last story I've got there, right, Rags?
About this one? No, hold on a second. Let's see. What's the DEA literally steals that? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess the DEA took some money from a young man. $16,000 they took from him. I don't know the whole story, but I'm reading it here. It says he was on the Amtrak train moving to Los Angeles to persuade his dream when his life savings were stolen from him. According to the Albuquerque Journal, quote, a DEA agent boarded the train at the Albuquerque train station and began asking various passengers, including Rivers, where they were going and why. When Rivers replied that he was heading to L.A. to make a music video, the agent asked to search his bag, and he complied. His $16,000 was in a bank envelope found by DEA agents. He tried to explain that he had problems withdrawing money from out-of-state banks in the past and that he was moving to Los Angeles. The feds did not believe him. He called his mother to corroborate the story, and the feds didn't believe her either, of course. He was charged with no crime. He had nothing on him that was suspicious, but the DEA took his money and never gave it back. Now, Rags, this is pretty. How can they take your money? How are they able to just? He committed no crime. What's he charged with? Nothing.
Well, you know, one, you cannot ride on any airplane or travel internationally with over $10,000 cash. They tell you right there at the airport.
That's illegal. Much money?
That's illegal. Two, you cannot go and deposit anything over $10,000 in a bank account, or they will hold it and they will not notify the IRS. That's also another law. Now,
that's robbery. That sounds like robbery.
I've heard that people have talked about this before. Past how, you know, Now, here's the thing. I'm sure that...
This is modern-day robbery.
Yeah, you know...
And you can't fight this guy because he's a federal agent.
But he has to answer somebody. I'm sure Obama will get over there and help his people out.
Yeah,
somehow.
I'm sure he will.
But no, I mean, there's been incidences like this before. This is actually nothing new.
Oh, I know it's not a new phenomenon.
These guys have, they have taken money from people and without no questions act, and you know, some people have gotten their money back, but believe it, even after going to trial, there's people that have lost thousands of dollars.
You shouldn't have to. I thought you were innocent until proven guilty, but now you're guilty.
Well, he wasn't charged. He's not guilty. The money's guilty.
That's just ridiculous.
That's the quote actually in the article too. The money's
really, the money's guilty.
Yeah, that's the quote actually in that article. It said the money's guilty.
So it says in the article. It says also this is in the longer article because the article comes from the Daily Sheepy, Sheeply.com.
Yeah, which I think that actually came from somewhere else though too. I can't remember.
It says
maybe.
It was contributed by the anti-media, so it looks like maybe it came from the anti-media.
Well, I thought it came from the Albuquerque Journal, but...
Hold on. I'm just trying to see. Well, I guess they got some of their quotes from the Albuquerque Journal.
I mean, this actually came from an actual newspaper.
Right, I'm going through all the sources now, so now I'm to the main source. I'm just trying to read a little bit of it here, folks. It says the agencies like the DA can confiscate money or property if they have a hunch, a suspicion, a notion that maybe, possibly, perhaps the items are connected with narcotics or something else illegal. Jesus. Or maybe the fact that the person holding a bunch of cash is a young black man is good enough. Also, he was black.
Oh, then definitely Obama's jumping in. Yeah, much more lengthy story and information here at the Albuquerque.
Oh,
Journal.
Yeah.
This is where it came from.
Definitely a lot more.
Agencies like the DEA can confiscate money or property if they have a hunch, a suspicion, or a notion that maybe or possibly perhaps the items are connected with narcotics or something else illegal, or maybe the fact that the person holding a bunch of cash and is a young black man is good enough. Who knows? What this is saying with your money acting under the color of the law, Michael Prancer, San Diego state attorney who represents Mr. Rivers, an aspiring music video producer. It's a national epidemic. It's my office got 4 to 5 cases just recently, and I'm just one attorney. Wow. You know, this is happening thousands of times over. And like I said, this has happened a lot if you're traveling with cash. So it's what it is that you really have to prove, or you just traveler's checks, you know, or whatever.
So I guess this is called the civil asset forfeiture.
Because think about it. Is there not a Bank of America at every part of the United States?
Right.
You know. So, I mean, you could, you know, you, there's a Bank of America over there. Now, granted, let's say you're moving. Okay. And maybe why didn't you just get a cashier's check? You know.
Well, you know, I have a lot of questions myself. I mean, it should be relatively easy to prove where you got the money from if it's legit, right?
Yeah, if he actually withdrew the from an account, you know, he could show the bank account and this is what it was. And here's the days.
Or if he's had a legit job or he's cast his check or something. I mean, you should.
Well, no, he said he withdrew all his money to go down out to California and make a video.
So shouldn't that be just a pretty simple... Or is it just the paperwork you have to go through? I just can't just.
I imagine paperwork. I mean, if this guy's legit, I mean, it sounds like if as long as you've got that documentation.
Oh, he's got a GoFundMe page. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I saw. Yeah, he's got a nice GoFundMe.
Oh, it's up to $5,561.
Yeah, so.
Maybe he'll get his $16,000 back. Oh, that's what his GoFundMe is, too. This could all be just one big stunt.
Could be too.
To get $16,000. No, I'm just
$16,000. Yeah,
but it's an actual story. But
so you never know. You know. Sorry, I'm just saying.
You never do know. Yeah. Wow. Well, it looks like we're at the top of the hour, and we have definitely went over our time here. Don't forget, folks, to subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.disclosuremedia.net. You can also find us on Facebook and at Twitter at Disclosure Media. You can also follow Rags and myself on Twitter. I'm at Jason, the real Jason, @Rags_Young, and Rags is @RagsTheMan. Folks, we're going to be off tomorrow and Wednesday, right? Tuesday, Wednesday.
Wednesday for sure. I'll let you know tomorrow, Jay.
And
Wednesday for sure, I will not be around.
Okay. So just keep tabs, folks, and have a good night and a good morning. And we'll talk to you again sometime soon. Rags, have a good one.
See ya.